Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
You have to be at the appointed place and the appointed time. The text is clear. God is not slack, not incompetent, not late or unable in performing his promises. Concerning his promises, the Bible says this, I say unto thee, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Matthew 5 and 8. Timing is one of the adversary's greatest weapons to rob us of God's promises. Timing is everything. Have you ever been somewhere where a great tragedy had occurred and you're glad that you're there later? Have you ever been somewhere where something wonderful happened and yet nobody else is there and you wish you had have been? Timing is everything. My job is to systematically remove all the obstacles to your faith and to the promises of God. In God's time is one of the deprived favorite refrains. When we don't receive the promises of God, we say quietly and defeatedly, well, maybe in God's time. But I want to tell you that there is no time restraint in this dispensation to the promises of Almighty God. The Bible said in the Acts chapter 2 verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then it goes on to a vivid description of heaven kissing earth and what God did to rendezvous with man. But the key phrase is, and when it was fully come, when it was fully come, the Bible talks about that, and when time was fully come, when time was fully come. The Bible said in Galatians 4 and 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his time made of man, made under the law. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the time has fully come, that this is the fullness of time. We're not waiting on a dispensation, nor are we prisoners of a dispensation where certain things could not happen. There were times in certain dispensations in times past that things simply could not happen. God did not do those things in those times. But the Bible said now, Acts 2 and 1, in the fullness of time, when time had fully come. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that the cup of time is not half full. It is running over. This is our day, and now is the time. Jesus cautions us in John chapter 4, verse 35. Say not ye. He said, don't say this. Don't say this. There are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Don't say it's another season or it's another time or we have to wait. Say not, yet there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The devil makes a living postponing your harvest. Let me say it again. The devil makes a living postponing your harvest, telling you there is a harvest coming, but not now. One of the greatest weapons for the devil, he's got so many. To the agnostic, he's convinced them there's a God that's not interested. To the atheist, he has convinced them there is no God. But to the believer, such as I, you and I, he has convinced us that God is able and God is willing, but simply not now. And so any of the weapons are just as powerful as the other. If he can convince you there is a God that is good, a God that is able, a God is willing, but just not now. It has the same results as to convince the atheist there is no God. You don't embrace the promise because you simply think the timing is not right. The devil makes a living postponing your harvest. The Bible said the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the days that I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the time. What does it mean when we say not one jot or not one tittle shall not pass away till God has fulfilled his promise? The jot and the tittle are the smallest characters in the Hebrew alphabet. So what he's saying is the smallest letter, the smallest period, the smallest quotation mark, the smallest sentence that you can put cannot resist being fulfilled, because God is a God of faithfulness. And God is here tonight for somebody that is hanging desperately on a promise that the devil is whispering in your ear every day. It will come, but not now. If he can get you to embrace that every day, you will be eternally defeated. Sir, sometime in your life, you have to say, today is the day, and now is the time. The Bible said that Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. God has commanded us that the word of faith is nigh thee, even in our mouth. If we grow in the Lord, our words will not fall to the ground, but God's promise will be yea and amen. The Bible teaches us that timing is everything. 2 Peter 3:8. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. In other words, God is the fulfillment of time. And so God does not have you on a waiting list. God is waiting for you to make the move, because God has already made all the moves. He created you one day, and he redeemed you one day. And now in Christ, in the fullness of time, all things have been fulfilled. And so timing is no longer an object of failure in your life. You need to stand up on the tiptoes of faith. Reach out with the periscope of envisionment and embrace the promises of God and say, not someday, but today. Right now, my life is going to change, because I am living with a God that has not reserved me for a former dispensation, but my generation is now, a now generation. And the promises of this generation are beyond completion and beyond what the world would say. They are right now. God has told us when we are ready, he is ready. We are not waiting on God, but God is waiting on us to make the next move. God is waiting for us to storm the gate of heaven. God is waiting for us to knock on the door. God is waiting for us to take a hold of the hem of his garment. God does not wait on us, but we wait on God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. It's usward. It's we that God is waiting for. So why does God wait on man? Why is God waiting on us? To keep us from self-destructing. For if God would come in the condition that some people are, they would perish. But the Bible said he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you today, if you're living beyond the ark of God's safety, that today is the day of repentance. It's the time right now to say, God, I've erred. God, I'm sorry. God, I've sinned. God, I've made a mistake. Not tomorrow or next month, but right now. If you would stand on your tiptoes of faith and say, God, I believe that you will forgive me if I will repent, that today all of your sins could roll away. You could be washed white as snow. You could go home from this building clean in the sight of Almighty God. And those eyes that go to and fro to show himself strong would not be searching it emptily for somebody, but they would rest on you, because you have chosen this day to say, this day, God, I start my life over. Why does God wait on us? To keep us from self-destruction. And the Bible teaches us that God's waiting on us causes his promises to be deferred. If God has to wait on you, your promise will be deferred. The Bible addresses that in Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. There are people that call themselves Christian, and they're living in two camps. Some are living in the camp of the heart sick. Those that have no promises fulfilled. Those that have no doors open. Those that have no miracles manifest, because they refuse to move while God waits on them. But there is another group of us that have said, we realize that God is ready and willing. And so we have moved into the express lane of God, and we have found that there is a tree of life. We have found out that there is a God that will open the windows of heaven. We found out there is a God that will instruct instill in us his joy and will bless us with his power. We live every day in what Jesus said is the abundant life. It's called the tree of life. Hebrews 3:11-1, one of the most familiar scriptures to we people of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, right now, not yesterday, not tomorrow. We see the sisters of Lazarus making the mistake of talking about if you had been here yesterday, it would have been different. And it will be different tomorrow, but today is a tragedy. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get now faith, you don't have to live in a tragic today every day, hoping for a better tomorrow. Today can become the aspirations of your faith, and you can see God begin to do things right now. What are the primary things that causes God to wait? Why does God wait on us? And yet we accuse us that we are waiting on. We accuse God that we are waiting on him. We're not waiting on God. He's not a God that is slowful. He's not a God that has to wait for some of his abilities to refurbish himself. He is a God that always was, always will be. He is a God that is the same yesterday and forever. He's not waiting for his mercy to regrow like that hair from Samson's head. He's not waiting for grace to replenish itself. He is a God that holds all of his power in his hands every day. What he was, he is. If he saved yesterday, he can save today. If he healed yesterday, he can save tonight. I tell you, he is an ever-present help in the time of need. That God is in this building tonight, and he is saying loud and clear for somebody, I want you to quit saying that you're waiting on me, because you're not waiting on me, for I am ready. I'm bound and determined. I have put off my coat. All things are ready. I have prepared for you a feast. It's time for you to sit down and begin to dine on the delicacies of the deity. God's in this house tonight. It does not take a Sunday morning. It doesn't take a two-hour sermon. It's just somebody in this building said, hey, God, I am not waiting on you. You're waiting on me. And I sense that tonight. And I say, right now, God, I'm going to release my praise. I'm going to unshackle my faith. And the promise that I've been talking about for weeks and months and years is going to come to pass in my current life. Can you give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is probably no better illustration of what I'm talking about than the well-worn story from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke that we call the prodigal son. The prodigal son was on a wait, just waiting for something to happen. But the truth was that the father's house was already there, and their father's love had never dissipated. It was all up to him. And the Bible has this beautiful phrase, and he came to himself. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about coming to God, because God is so near you could touch him tonight. It's about coming to yourself. Coming to yourself and saying, what I'm doing is not working. My waiting is some kind of an error, because God is more than willing. We must realize the resources of the Father's house. He there, when he came to himself, he looked around at the pig pen. He looked around at the poverty. He looked around at everything that was happening negative in his life. And he began to assess in his mind what he had left. The Father's house. The Father's house, it has great accolades in the Bible. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The reason why I love this building, the reason why I love gathering on Wednesday nights and Sunday, because it is a shadow of what is happening spiritually, and that is that I'm living in God's house. Not just when I'm on Highway 35 in this building, but I live in God's house every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. For I have found in God's house, there is everything I need. That everybody outside of the Father's house is living in neglect, living in poverty. I don't care how rich they appear to be, what kind of car they drive, or what kind of house they live in. Friend, if you're out from the shelter of the Father's house, you are living in abject poverty, when he came to himself, he began to have visions of the Father's house. If I could just get back to the Father's house, everything is going to change. He realized the resources of the Father's house. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, in the Father's house that you're sitting in tonight is every resource that you could possibly need. There is salvation for your soul. There is joy for your spirit. There is deliverance from the bound condition of mankind. There is provision for the needs of mankind. It's all in the Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house. If it were not, I would have told you so. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's mansions of joy, mansions of peace, mansions of provision, mansions of power. They're here tonight. You say someday. It's not someday. It's today. It's not later. It's now. Praise God. Somebody in this building needs to reach up, take your hands out of your pockets, and embrace the deity of the Holy Ghost that's in this building tonight, and say, my promise is going to be fulfilled. I won't wait a day longer, because I've been waiting on a God that's been ready for a long, long time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We have to get an understanding that when we flee the Father's house, it will cause us to perish. It will cause us to perish. It will cause us to perish. God tarries only because there are those outside of the Father's house that he is waiting for them to come back. Friend, we need to embrace God's house and realize that without God's house, we perish. We need to embrace God's mercy. This prodigal, he had been a despicable son. He had cursed his father, took everything he could get, and run away in a fit of rage. But he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he did not have to wait for God, for his father to recondition himself mentally and say, well, I guess I'll take him back. He knew that his father was a father of mercy. Friend, we don't have to wait for God to get in a certain mood. We don't have to wait for God to refurbish his spirit and say, well, I guess I can forgive you. The mercy of God is so great. The love of God is so unfathomable. He's ready when you're ready. Are you ready tonight to cast your cares on him, that you might embrace every promise that God has afforded you that you need to make your life complete? Then tonight you ought to forget about the pig pen, forget about the fake friends. You ought to turn your face back toward the Father's house and say, nothing will separate me from the love of God, for he is not a God of moods and complexes. He is a constant force of love. His arms are always reaching out. He's not sometimes got his hands in his pocket and his back turned toward me. He is a God that has his face always directed toward me, and his arms are extended saying, I will take you back. You say, but I failed. It doesn't matter. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. You need to say, I'm sorry. You need to say, I believe. You need to say, now, tonight, I know, God, that you're not going to bring up all of my failures and faults and make me stand in a long line in the rain. But God, you are willing to gather me right now as a hen would gather her chicks. You'll take me just like I am. And so, God, here I am, smelling like a pig, looking like a runaway. I'm coming home. And friend, the father was standing on the porch. He had been waiting for him every day. His eye had been down that long road. Friend, some of you need something in your life, and you say, God, for some reason, is withholding that. That's a lie. The Bible said God will not withhold any good thing from you. I promise you today that God's eyes are on you. He's not in the back porch. He's on the front porch. He's looking down the long road that comes to the Father's house. And he said, if you'll come, I'm here. I'm ready to heal you. I'm ready to save you. I'm ready to deliver you. I'm ready to manifest my miraculous power in your life. Whatever it is, give God some praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to recognize that we have a role in God's plan. There's a reason why God left 99 to go save one. because the one had a role in God's plan. There's not a woman or man in this building tonight that doesn't have a role in God's plan. You're not waiting for God to call you. You're not waiting for God to involve you. God is waiting for you on the front porch of love, saying, no matter where you've been and what you've done, I promise you that if you will say yes now, today is the day. I'll kill the calf. I'll bring the robe out. I'll shine the ring. I'll put the shoes on right now. God is inviting you to understand that He has a real plan for your life. A real plan for your life. And it's not one that includes heartache and heartbreak and fear and bondage and depravity and sin and poverty. It is a place of blessing. And God is willing when? Now. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's some people here in this building that have already embraced what I'm talking about, but hidden among the numbers somewhere in this building, there's somebody that I'm zeroing in on. I'm closing the door of doubt. I'm opening the door of faith and saying, this Wednesday night, not Sunday, but this Wednesday night is your night. This is your moment. This is your time. You need to come out of the pew of lethargy and hit your feet in faith and say, tonight I'm taking a hold of the promise of God that is going to change my life. I can't live this way. I told you Sunday that desperation is the mother of miracles. You need to get desperate and say, I got to get out of this pig pen. I got to get away from these pigs. I got to get away from these thieves. I've got to find the promise of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And in closing, we have to understand this, that God is waiting for us to manifest the role that He's called us to. The Bible talks about it loud and clear in Romans 8. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You say, what in the world is going on? Everybody's on Facebook saying, I hate you because you won't walk in love. What in the world is going on? The world, the Bible said in one verse, all of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. When the church of the living God quits praying and saying, I just wish God would come and do something. When the church of the living God says 4 months and then quit saying 4 months and then the harvest. When the church of the living God quit saying tomorrow and they bring to their vocabulary the word now. And the harvest is now. And the fields are white now. And the opportunities are there now. I'm not waiting for another day. The devil is a liar. He's not postponing God's promise to me another week, month, or year. It's right now. I'm going to manifest as a son of the living God. He said the children differ nothing from a servant or a slave. But praise God, you are now mature sons of God, which means that you can reach up to heaven and pull down the glory of heaven and deity on planet earth. Ladies and gentlemen, too many saints of God do not realize that they are the manifested Son of the living God. One Son of God changed this world, but He said, greater works than these shall you do. There's supposed to be a billion of us now that call ourselves Christians. What if there were a billion Christs on this earth? What if there were a billion really Spirit-filled Christians on this earth that were not waiting for something in the future but demand the manifestation now? What would happen? The hatred we see would stop. The depravity that we exist in would cease, and suddenly there would be a worldwide harvest. You say, well, I want that to happen. It starts with you. Quit waiting on your brother or your sister or your neighbor or your church. It starts with you. Just stand up and say, praise God, in the name of Jesus. I know that God's been waiting on me, and I stand up here tonight to volunteer and say, God, here I am. Here I am. I'm going to embrace your promises. They are yea and amen to me. Will you stand on your feet right now and lift both hands and begin to praise God with everything that's in you? Lord, we praise you and we glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know what I'm preaching about. I was raised and schooled in churches that taught it was absolutely essential for every believer to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But yet there were little things within the movement that would let the doors of doubt be wide open. And so when I was 10 years old, I gave my life to Christ. I was baptized shortly thereafter. And then I spent the next 3 years going to the altar every night and every Sunday morning saying, God, I want the gift of the Holy Ghost. I knew there was a promise. I knew that God was able. I just didn't believe the timing was now. It wasn't until I was able to understand that now is the day, that Pentecost has fully come. Now is the time. The harvest is white, that I reached up and took a hold of the Holy Ghost power, and that gift became very evident in my life, and it changed me forever. But as long as you will wait, the devil will give you the fuel to wait with. He'll help you wait. Because he doesn't care whether you believe. He just doesn't want you to receive. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to receive until you say, today is the day. Tonight is the time. Now is the moment. Somebody in this building needs a healing in your body, and tonight is the night. Somebody needs salvation. Tonight is the night. Somebody needs to be baptized in water. Tonight is the night. Somebody needs the Holy Ghost. Tonight is the night. Somebody needs a job. It's this week you need to get that job. Somebody needs a miracle with your kids. It's right now. But you have got to demand it, or it simply will not happen. If there's somebody here in this building that's been flirting around the edges of promise, but they want to embrace that promise tonight by declaring, I will not be denied. I challenge you to get out of your chair, walk down here tonight, and as the Bible said, violently attack heaven. Violently attack heaven. Heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Today is the day, and now is the time. I will not be denied. I'm not waiting on God. God's waiting on me. In this building, will you rush the altar? Will you storm the gates of heaven? Will you throw heaven rocks at the windows of heaven and say, tonight is the night. God is willing, God is able, and God is present. He's here tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember, the devil makes a living off of postponing God's promises. You know what's going to happen, just not now. You know what's going to happen, not just this week, maybe next month. The devil keeps people in prison like that for years, just pushing it ahead a little farther down the road. The devil just wants you to kick the can down the road. Just take the promise and further later, tomorrow. Next week, but it's always today. Today is the day. Now is the time. Anybody else in this building have a promise that's escaping them? A promise that's eluding them? Just out of, almost there. You need to say, tonight it's going to make the difference. I'm not going to let the promise of God slip off of my fingertips. I'm going to reel it in tonight. I'm going to embrace it. Tonight's the night in the name of Jesus. Anybody else? I'm getting ready to pray. I'm getting ready to...